Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Welcome back.
Thank you. All right, our assignment from yesterday. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs/assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices, I'm too tired to cook. How about we order in? Belief, being tired is a reason not to do something. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Bonnie from Nova Scotia.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
It chose me how we process food. So out here we have a lot of really giant chicken barns where the chickens don't get out and into the daylight, and a lot of animals are raised like that. So not specifically how I eat, but just what I see around me in terms of how we grow our food, how we produce it, how we treat the animals. And I'm glad it came after play, because play for me was a really great month and really helpful in terms of lightening up. So I'm trying to bring some of that into this, but mm-hmm. It was just like turning on a spigot of to me, what occurred this morning was hate, just rage, judgment, criticism, blame, harsh. So it feels kind of like what's underneath everything in any session or anything I could do, this like Leviathan of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been struggling with how to work with it other than just trying to watch it.
And so let me just make the connection. So as soon as food came up as the topic, what the mind went to was how creatures are treated.
And yeah, I drive by
that,
these.
And then that puts you in touch with this well of anger or judgment, hatred.
Yes.
Related to that, yeah? And
yes.
Yet what you're also realizing is that that wellspring of negativity is there all the time. It's just
yes.
looking for a topic to attach itself to.
Yes. So at first it was a bit overwhelming, because I was trying to choose something about what I'm eating, and I didn't want that topic. But it feels like lancing a wound.
Well,
it's
the first
ugly,
thing,
but
Bonnie, that I would encourage you to realize, especially from what you've just said, is it doesn't have anything to do with the topic, right? That wellspring of negativity is just there. And
yes.
again, it's looking for a reason, something to attach to in order to spew, which is pretty much how it works. That's how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate operates on that end of the spectrum. Okay? It can be over on the one side, it can just be kind of mild rolling your eyes or, what is it about that kind of mild judgment and criticism, all the way over to hatred and wanting to kill people. Okay, but that's just what that is. That's what that system is, and that's what it does. So being aware of that, of course, is what we do in practice, and realizing that. But watching it is not what we do. What we do is turn our attention away from it, because giving it any kind of attention is what feeds it. That's how it grows, which is what people realize when they get upset over something, and the more they rant and rave and carry on, the more upset they get. It's not the 60s and 70s psychology was about, you know, pound on pillows and scream about your mother. And that was going to release all of this so that it wouldn't be in you any longer. And what people eventually realized was actually it just feeds it. The more you do it, the more it wants to do it. So that would be my best encouragement. And to bring it back, bring the focus back to you, right? Not some theory about what people are doing wrong, but how do you want to eat? What do you choose for yourself in terms of your relationship with food, how you are with that? Because that's something that you can work on that's going to help you be with the human being rather than being with all of that negativity.
Okay, so notice it, and I guess to the extent I can say yes, and then try and focus on...
No, just turn your attention away from it. If you had a crazy neighbor who just ranted and raved and screamed and yelled obscenities all day long, you would not give that person attention and say yes every time, right? I mean, you could, but why would you? It's just that's what's going on. It has nothing to do with you. There's no reason to be involved, and so you just turn your attention to what is so for you. So maybe you want to eat more fruits and vegetables, or maybe you want to, whatever it is that you decide you want to work on, and just have your attention on that this month. Okay?
The thing is, though, I'm in an area that's very heavily sprayed. So any fruits and vegetables, it's really hard to find stuff that hasn't been sprayed. So it comes up all the time, farmers markets. And
yeah, it does. Yeah, and that's why... We seek out the people who are the three people in the area who are growing organic food, and we support them, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bonnie. Now, Sherry, the focus talks about the sense of separation that is what causes us to be separate from all that is, right? That force of separation. Mm-hmm. And so it's what's operating in us that would cause us to be cruel to an animal, right? Yes. The thing that I heard in that conversation is we recognize that as a force operating in institutionalized egocentricity, because that is the force that's operating in all of us that would cause us to do that. And the clever part of egocentricity is to then throw the self-hate in the form of judgment. And so part of what we're trained to do is to take on the content of it, not the process of it. So if I find myself judging what egocentricity is doing in the form of institutions, then it feels like I'm against something, but it still maintains the separation. And
right.
So part of what I heard you say in that conversation is don't choose the judgment. You may not be able to do anything in terms of the content, but you can choose to be in the process that won't perpetuate the institutionalization of the egocentricity, right? Because you're not judging. If I'm judging, then I'm just perpetuating the same force that gets institutionalized as evil. So my choice would be not to judge and to see what I can do in my small way of not making the choice of spraying or eating sprayed food, if that's possible. But above and beyond all of that, I don't indulge the judgment.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so difficult to see how my my dislike of what people are doing wrong is the same process, you know, that we're all doing the same process. And as you say, all we can do is address it in this one area, which is ourselves.
Exactly. Not let the judgment be what we choose. Either to choose to identify it and project it outward, or choose to attend to it and have it done to us.
It's big.
Right,
it really is big.
Big.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really spiritual in the sense of recognizing that the choice is not to change the world. The choice is not to attend to the process that causes the world that is judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you finish that sentence, that causes me to be the way the world is.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's following that process. Everything that we can see that is called wrong out there, let's stop calling it wrong. Let's just make a choice for the heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a way in which if I don't accept that it's in me also, then the separation just continues to be maintained.
Yes. Yeah.
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 All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Sharon calling from Barbados.
Hello, Sharon. I'm always stunned at how good you sound. I mean, it's
just lucky today, I guess.
No. Every day. There is good phone connection between where I am in Barbados. So,
all right.
All right.
I'm
going to
knock on wood anyway. It's a good conversation so far. Really, I'm enjoying it. I was looking at, well, certainly there's self-hate, that emerges when you start to look at food, and I did write some of those things down. And also that food seems to be very complicated, and that's another kind of belief, I guess, because there's all this hype about, carbs and keto, and plus I'm, very much into health and nutrition and all that sort of thing. I really get caught up in it. And then the self-hate comes through. You're just not smart enough to get it all right because it does seem very complicated.
It is very complicated. You can trust your feelings about that, Sharon. And of course, I've lived long enough, and I think you have too, to notice that about every 6 months, there's another whole thing that tells you everything that you were told before was right is now wrong, and this is the new right, and this is the new thing that you, and you're supposed to keep up with that and get it all right, and if not, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, exactly, and it can be, some of the times it is very complicated, and it's not that easy to adapt a new way of thinking and to understand why and all that sort of thing. But the other thing is that I was taken by the example left in the exercise, because one of the things for me is food is a comfort when I'm lonely or when I'm tired. And I think I had the belief kind of that food was about the only way that I could get comfort, I mean, I hear about other things, of course there's recording and listening, and that is definitely a way to get comfort. But food does play a big role in comforting, and I also liked back to the example was, especially because one of my things was when I'm tired, I just don't want to bother, making a really nutritious meal, but I love in the example the belief is being tired is a reason to do or not to do something. And I had never thought of that before, because I guess I thought, well, being tired meant you just don't have to, you don't have to put much effort in.
Right. And it's such a good excuse. Right? I'm tired.
Right.
And just about everybody buys that. Oh, you're too tired. Okay. All right. Well, just that bag of chips then. Yeah, because you're tired. And it's, again, it's like being a little kid, right? So my favorite thing with that is, you're a little kid, and I say, clean your room, Sharon, You know, it's a mess. You need to clean. I can't. I can't. Okay, and so what am I going to do? I'm basically going to clean your room for you while you sit there and watch me, right? But if you said, I don't want to, then the battle is on. So
yeah.
Inadequacy is a great excuse. We're all programmed to buy inadequacy as the viable excuse. I can't. It's too hard. I don't know. I'm too tired. I've worked so hard. I'm too stiff.
It's kind of like a spell comes over you.
Right,
in a way.
Right? Yeah. And you're just in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people, that's the, you know, you come to with the empty bag of potato chips or the container of ice cream or whatever it is. And then, of course, there's the self-hate. Oh, my God, look what you've done. Why have you done that? What's wrong with you? And, that spell is unconsciousness, isn't it?
And it is. It really is. It really is kind of like a spell. It means that I'm not in the present in the moment.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I think I can have these various spells at various times of the day. And before you know it, you know, I've made a decision or I've done something, and I didn't really stop to think, wait, you know, in the moment, what do I want? What do I need? What are my choices? This kind of thing. And
you
and
weren't there, were you?
Yeah,
you weren't
there.
You can see the complete takeover of the bamboozle. You are getting very sleepy.
Yeah.
And, right? And we just nod off and ego comes in and does whatever. And then, again, okay, now I'm going to count to three. You're going to wake up. One, two, three. Look what you did. What is the matter with you?
Yeah. There's a lot of that what is the matter with you kind of thing going
mm-hmm.
on. And yeah, so, well, okay. Well, I mean, the thing is, at least I'm aware of the spells now, where I never used to even be aware of the spells.
That's right. You know?
Yeah.
That's why we practice, isn't it? Because
exactly.
We're getting clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. And Michael is so good, you know, Michael from Open Air, is so good about reminding us that in 2013 we stopped feeling bad. And that is something we never want to lose sight of in this sangha. 2013, that's a lot of years ago we stopped feeling bad. So we just don't do that. It's just not something we do.
The first step of that is directing the attention to something else, like what you just told Bonnie. You know,
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
Good.
Thank you very much. This is a great topic.
Love it. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Shara. I think the fun part of all of this is bringing the awareness to such deeply held beliefs.
Yes.
Right,
yeah.
Sherry? That tired, if I'm tired, I don't do something. You never question the veracity of that.
That's right.
Until you do, and then you find yourself living the experience that the conversation of I am tired is simply the conversation, and you can actually do a bunch of things that you wouldn't have done if you just followed the conversation.
Yes. Well, and that's the salient point here. You get to the place which Sharon is describing, where you realize that somebody's saying that I'm so tired. Am I actually tired? Let me check in. Let me see if I really am tired. And if I'm tired, well, what might I want to do to take care of myself? You know, maybe all I need is a glass of water. Maybe I just need to sit down for a minute. Maybe I don't need anything. Maybe I'm not actually tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most fascinating place where I've seen everybody in training do that is that, you know, you reach 9 o'clock at the end of a really long day and you look down and you see you have only 5,523 steps and you've committed to 10,000 and everyone goes out and walks.
Yes.
Because there's a way in which if you're in training, you choose the commitment over the conversation, which allows you to have a direct experience of that two things that were put together are not actually related.
Yes, and I would say that everybody who does what you said with the steps finishes their 10,000 steps feeling better, way, 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 way better than they did at 9 o'clock when the voice said, oh, my God, what a long day. I'm so tired.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing as fixing the salad at 8:45 at night after a long day when everything in you is going, go to the grocery store and have some ice cream, right?
Right.
Or the bag mm-hmm. of chips.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Oh, hello. It's Claire from London.
Hello, Claire.
Hi, it's really nice to be back. I haven't been able to listen for quite a while now.
And so what are you seeing here in the world of food?
I'm seeing that, well, the first thing that I was being told was that I didn't have any problems in this department whatsoever.
Ah.
Then I noticed that actually there's a bit of fear going on around eating too much fat, that I'm going to get heart disease and so on.
Mm.
And then going like, well, that's all very well, but how do I know how much fat I'm eating? It's really hard.
We're in Sharon's world, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is too much? Who's going to tell
yeah.
me? Because there are at least 10,000 experts readily available to give
yes.
you their opinion. Yeah.
So it's all it kind of makes eating. It takes some of the joy out of it. Really, if you're kind of wondering whether you're, you know, it's like Russian roulette.
mm-hmm. And Claire, how much eating in a state of anxiety isn't good for us, right?
Well,
that we're trained to be afraid of the food that we're eating and live in a state of paranoia that it's trying to kill me.
Yes, well, that's true, yes. Yeah. And, of course, the duality with it is that you just go, enough of the anxiety, and then the other end kicks in, and you just go, all right, I'm just going to eat whatever I feel like.
Yeah. And then who are we listening to, right? Who is
yes.
that person? And as we listen more closely, we realize that that person sounds suspiciously like the one who was talking about, oh, but what if there's too much fat and heart disease? And, and we get that image again of the tennis match, you know, smack at this side and then smack at the other side, and just being jerked back and forth between the anxiety and the what the heck, just do whatever.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
back to the anxiety, because look what you just did. My God, look at how you've been eating. You're going to die.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Well, to me, from my point of view, it always looks like whatever issue we're dealing with, we're talking about boundaries for me.
Mm-hmm.
Think about knowing that. Not knowing where the boundary is of
uh-huh.
Sort of trying to get the balance between fear and greed.
Right.
Which is the same with money, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, your point is a great one. With everything.
Mm,
with everything.
Yeah.
Because those are perfect into the continuum for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Right? On the one side is fear and on the other side is greed. And there's the poor human being just being jerked back and forth between those two.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we can go from there to questioning whether it's that issue that's a problem or who we're listening to, what we're listening to that is
yes.
the problem, right? So we get
yes.
we begin to close in on it's not sex, it's not relationship, it's not food, it's not money, it's ego.
Yes.
Ego
yes.
seems to be the constant fly in the ointment.
Developing the skill to hear it without being dragged into it.
Yes. Yeah, like that crazy neighbor we were talking about a bit ago. You know, ego is the quintessential crazy neighbor. And you know, we don't need to try to do anything to it. We don't want to get involved with trying to kill it. But my golly, we can ignore it and come back and live in our own house. Well, thank you, Claire.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Nice to talk to you.
Good to hear you. Yeah, go happy.
Yes, you too. Yeah, go happy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, it's Winnie. This is Brad giving you a call from Maryland. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Brad. What are you seeing, Brad?
Well, it's interesting because I'm getting ready to see you guys here in Pennsylvania in a few weeks, and I'm practicing like my hair is on fire. That's the name of my own retreat before I see you, which is probably a good visual because I have no hair. And
I was getting a picture of you, Brad, actually. Maybe as if your scalp's on fire.
Right. But I guess one of the things that I'm looking at right now is as I'm trying to work on this karma that's been plaguing me, I noticed that the karma goes back to the food issue, which coincidentally is what we're looking at for the retreat. And if this is an open air question, let me know and I'll go back more on topic. But I guess the question is it's like I noticed that the karma can play a leapfrog. In other words, if I start to do well with this first piece of karma, then it goes on back. Now I'm suffering over food again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. 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 And that's, yes, that's kind of part of what we were just talking about with Claire, right? That ego, let's go with ego, because ego just uses karma, right? Ego feels the karmic relationship between with ego is whatever you will fall for.
Yeah.
Right? So ego will use whatever a particular person has a deal with. Because that's the nature, that's the role of karma in that, right? And so, yes, it's ego's deal is getting attention. It is the illusion of being separate from life. The only way that illusion can be maintained is by getting human attention. Because it only seems real as long as you're attending to it, right? So if you're not going to attend to it over X, well, then it just scans the, why? He'll go for why. Boom, over to why. Okay, it wears that out. You kind of start seeing through it. You lose interest. It's not that big a deal. Well, let's visit D. Okay, and we've truly all got an alphabet of karma for it to choose. And the reason that it continues to do what it does and why I think this retreat is so helpful is that because we're so wound up about the content, we don't realize it's just running the same process over and over and over and over. The exact same playbook.
Where ego gets me is it tells me, see, it's too hard. You know, you got to go on to this next thing. It's still the same process. It's too hard. Then in a way, it's ego's like, I'll just move on to the next thing, and you're going to give up. And then the mentor tells me, well, hold on here. Look at the process of what you did with X screaming at you for the past 2 weeks and how hard that's been. All you have to do is apply it to the next thing.
That's exactly
and again,
right.
it's the process that we're going for here.
That's
and
right.
Getting past
and
it because it does shut up. Eventually.
And, Brad, a la the little exercise, what is the little exercise that we're on today? What is the phrasing of it, Ashwini?
Sorry, Sherry. The beliefs and assumptions, and what is the belief and assumption behind the voice to review it and look at it.
Yeah, no. I was hoping for the other one that we were just talking about. But at any rate, too tired, I'm too tired. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the, your version of that is it's too hard.
Right.
Right. And so to realize, no, it's not too hard. Okay, I just went through 2 weeks of it. I didn't die. In fact, you know, if I'd been doing this at the gym, I'd be that much stronger. It's not too hard. It might be annoying. I might, you know, be really happy when it's over, but it is not too hard. And so I just need to, and why would I quit? It's not too hard. In the same way I can make the salad or do the steps when I'm too tired, I hear it's too hard, and that's like a green light. Ah, too hard. Okay, there's ego trying to get me to stop. Okay, no, we're not doing that.
Right, right.
Yeah? Because
well, you know, it's so exciting.
Without that conversation, you don't have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's looking for anything. It's looking for anything. And
anything.
To finally get past that first 2 weeks of X screaming at me that I had to do something. And I'm like, I just can't do it at this point. You know, it's like a Schwinney's quote this morning about focusing on the love that you want to have for yourself rather than kind of letting ego beat the heck out of you, you know, and end up suffering.
Exactly.
It's focusing on that and realize that that's greater to me than going down the old karmic hellhole again.
That's exactly right. Because unconditional love is where we're going. So you didn't do
right.
that. You forgot to do that. You screwed it up. You didn't, whatever it is. Okay. I don't care. I'm choosing unconditional love. I'm choosing the human being, not the egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hating crapola.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And that, of course, is why it wants so much for you to quit. Because when you quit, it lives and you don't. You don't get the unconditional love that is your well-being. It gets the attention that it is its well-being.
Yeah, it's still telling me I'm missing out, which is the thing we talked about at the end of the New Year's retreat. The one sales pitch you'll always hear, and I'm like, okay, I'm missing out, but I'm still not going to do it.
Yeah, great, great. I'm missing out. I'm just going to choose love. Good. Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
All right.
Yes, we'll
Thanks.
See you pretty soon.
Yeah.
We have opening in that very fabulous
right.
retreat. And so if anybody's on the fence, contact the monastery and get signed up because we're going to have a good time. You know
right
we're going to have a
okay.
good time. Yeah.
Barrels. Barrels of fun. You got it.
Barrels of fun.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
It. Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. Here's our assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. Record and listen to what you see. Example, the voices. It's fun to eat out. Relax. Enjoy your life. Oh, I can just taste it melting in my mouth. Well, nobody can eat healthy food all the time. I'm just going to have to get something on the road. It's not going to be healthy, but oh well, that's just the way it goes. If I just get organized enough, I can have food to carry on that road trip. I love the way I feel when I make healthy choices. I wish I could always eat that way. The eyes. Social butterfly. It's fun to eat out. Relax. Enjoy your life. The gourmand, oh, I can just taste it melting in my mouth. The rationalizer, nobody can eat healthy food all the time. Resigned, I'm just going to have to get something on the road. It's not going to be healthy, but oh well, that's just the way it goes. Planner, if I just get organized enough, I can have food to carry on the road trip. Healthy, I love the way I feel when I make healthy choices. I wish I could always eat that way.
What a team.
What a team.
Who wouldn't want to go on a road trip with that group?
All right. Take care.
Thanks,
Dr.
Winnie.
See you tomorrow. Go
happy. Bye-bye.